Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman and special guest Rhett Lewis from the IU Radio Network. Rhett sits to my left, does color commentary with Don and John and I. Been through a lot the last 2 years. We're at a lot of adventures, a lot of games, and stuff like that. And TJ has been our day one OG podcast partner since 2015. So glad to have you guys on. How you doing, Rhett?
I'm great, Sammy. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate the invite. TJ, excited to get a chance to chat with you here a little bit as well. Yeah, we have some fun, you know, on the road, at home, up in our little booth there, up in the press box at the Rock, and looking forward to seeing a lot more wins here in short order here with Coach Sig taking the reins and getting things rolling.
Yeah, TJ, how are you doing? Checking in from South Carolina.
Yep, doing great. Weather's wonderful here, so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk to Rhett. And I know, Sammy, the first thing you wanted to ask Rhett about, since he went through it three different times, kind of the anatomy of a coaching change. What does that mean for a player? The positives of it, the negatives of it. You got a new staff coming in, and unless you're an offensive lineman, new position coach, new strength coach. How does the process work for a player having that come in? You know, you're going to college, but everything else is changing.
Right. I think it's a good question, guys. Obviously, I played in a much different era. You know, there was no worry about transferring. There was no real worry about, you know, whether you were going to get enough cash to play or whether somebody's going to give you more cash to go somewhere else. So that part of the coaching change is pretty different. But the thing that I will say is that it's an opportunity. So, you know, I came in under Cam Cameron, ended up playing for Jerry DiNardo and Terry Heppner, and then had four position coaches as well as, I think it was four different offensive coordinators as well. But the thing that I'll say is when Cam Cameron left, I was a scout team guy, redshirted. Nobody, you know, hardly knew my name, right? But then, you know, Coach DiNardo comes in, and look, part of it was due to his personality and the way that he wanted to run things, but I had 40 guys leave the team. You know, and this was not in the transfer portal era. Like, there was nobody else coming in until we got the recruits, you know, at the next recruiting class. So it was an opportunity for me to get a shot to show what I could do. Ended up taking advantage of it, you know, got some playing time on special teams, a little bit at receiver the next couple of years, earned a scholarship. And so, it actually worked out very positively for me. Now, it might have gone that way if Coach Cam had stayed. And I love Coach Cam. Still talk to him to this day. Same with Coach DiNardo. And, you know, it's almost in a similar fashion, but to a lesser degree with Coach Heppner. So I think if I was a player, I'm looking at this as an opportunity. If I'm a guy like, let's say, Caden Turner, and I haven't played a lot, right, on defense at linebacker, I'm looking at this as an opportunity. One, we've got some turnover at that position. Two, I got a brand new position coach that I can influence, that I can impress. I've got a new defensive coordinator, I got a new system. I'm learning it with everybody else. You know, there's no fifth year senior that's way far ahead of me in terms of learning the system. Now there is some, you know, some James Madison guys that might have a little bit of a jump on everybody else on that front, mm-hmm. coming over and playing for Coach Haynes and everybody else. But I just think the biggest thing I look at it, TJ and Sammy, is opportunity.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of opportunity as they announce some injuries, guys that, you know, recovering from postseason surgeries. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball in our big spring preview. You know, Coach Sig comes in as a winner. You know, Google him. You know, he has that swag and attitude that we haven't seen in Bloomington in a while. if ever. He expects to win. He expects to win now. He brought in some terrific transfers who were successful at lower levels and could translate to the Power Five. Rhett, what is your main focus this spring practice to come out of it on April 18th to go, okay, the building blocks are in place for fall camp, and to have that win now mentality going into the fall?
Look, I'm not sitting in Coach Sig's shoes, but I'd love to know who the starting quarterback is going into the summer. I just feel like it gives you a step ahead where you can open training, you can open fall camp, you can have that guy, you know, who maybe establishes himself, you know, throughout the spring, organizing everything in the summer, getting guys together, getting extra work in, and they'll do that anyway. But man, to be able to start fall camp knowing that, hey, it's Curtis Rourke or it's Taven Jackson or Tyler Cherry as a true freshman is going to start, you know, like I'd love to know that. I don't know that that's realistic, just given all the transition. Still think that, you know, kind of assessing where that competition is and how far along it is after spring will be one of the major building blocks. Because look, guys, quarterback drives success in this game, and you can have, you know, it's really hard to get to bowl eligibility without a quarterback that you can rely on for 12 games. It really is. Obviously, we know that very well over the course of the last couple of years. And unfortunately, that felt like the downturn over the last three seasons with Coach Allen, was just not being able to rely on a bona fide quarterback, whether that's injury or whether that's inconsistency. And so that was really tough. So outside of the quarterback, which I think is just always a main focus, I think you'll look at, all right, the Phil Bleedy departure thing is kind of big. It kind of felt like the interior was shaping up really nicely. And then that's a big hole to fill, but we'll have a lot more turnover to talk about in a couple of weeks after spring's over anyway. But I think the linebacker group and the safety group are the two that really kind of stand out to me as who's going to step up here. What's this going to look like, right? You have Jacob Mangum-Farrar moving from linebacker to edge rusher. So that takes another body out of that group, added some guys at the linebacker spot. And then you essentially lost both of your starting safeties last year in Philip Dunham and Lewis Moore, and replaced with a couple of ODU safeties, right? A couple of transfers there. And then you're moving some guys around as well. Nick Toomer's going to go over to the safety spot. So I think, to me, playing down the middle of the defense, I'm really curious to see, you know, who steps up with Philip Bleedy gone, who steps up with Aaron Casey gone, and then who establishes themselves, you know, at those safety spots there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, DJ.
Sticking with the offense, based on what you, and I don't want you to throw, you know, not going to ask you to throw Walt Bell under the bus or anything, but based on what you saw from the prior offense and that scheme to what you know of Mike Shanahan's scheme, what do you think are the biggest changes that are being put in to Indiana's offense from what IU fans have seen the past couple of seasons? Just from a baseline schematic standpoint.
Yeah, look, I think the thing that stood out to me over the last couple of years is, what were we? You know, like, what are we? Were we in, you know, right. Were we an option team? Did we want to be an option team? Did we need to? Was that, you know, a necessity as opposed to a luxury? Didn't end up working out. You know, I felt like we were constantly, you know, morphing who we wanted to be, kind of slash with what he needed at the time. And yep. You remember the Louisville game, throwing it all over the place. Taven throws for 300 yards. And I get the being a chameleon and trying to put, you know, your best game plan, you know, out there each and every Saturday. But I feel like with what we're going to see from Coach Shanahan, Coach Tenseri, Coach Bostad, you know, as the run game coordinator, and then obviously Coach Sig as the top of the food chain there, is consistency. And that is consistency in message, consistency in core foundational principles with where we want to go offensively. So I think them having been together as a core staff on the offensive side for so long, that paves the way for some real dividends, even in a coaching transition and a program transition, especially this spring. They're all on the same page. It's about getting the guys together. And when they have that consistency of message, I think that's what you're going to see. Honestly, just looking at personnel, and look, I haven't looked at a ton, you know, I haven't been able to see a ton of stuff, you know, yet from what we're going to actually look like. But I feel like we might see more 10 personnel, might see more, you know, 2x2s or 3x1s in terms of getting four wide receivers on the field. Yep. You know, you look at the priority they placed on going to get some slot guys, some bona fide experienced slot guys, you know, from Ohio, from Texas Tech. And then, you know, you look at, you know, Surratt comes over, you got McCulley still there, EJ still here, Omar Cooper. Like, so there's a lot of bodies there, right? So when you have, you could almost say that's kind of the one of the strengths of this team now. So how do we maximize that? Let's get more of those guys on the field at once. That's one thing that I'd be kind of curious about.
Switching from a position of strength to, you know, what concerns you. The last few years, the offensive line has been a concern going in. The offensive line performed well. You get Carter Smith back from the portal. You bring in a couple guys from JMU. You get Michael Kadick back as a veteran leader who can play center. What's your biggest concern on the offense going into spring practice?
I think center to left tackle, you're set. I would imagine that Kadick comes back and gets the first look at center. He has done that before at a high level here. And so yeah. I would imagine that's where that goes. Obviously Carter locks down the left side. You know, look at Trey Wettig from, you know, Wisconsin coming over on the right tackle side. And then I feel like Coach Bostad knows this group well enough to know who his best options are, you know, at those two guard spots. Obviously, you get a little influx of talent, too, you know, through the portal there. I feel good about where we're at with that group, especially because Coach, from what I understand and some of the conversations I've had with Coach Bostad, which you've seen on the Under the Hood stuff that we've done on the website, is that he's really worked with the offensive coaches to try to maintain a level of consistency with the technique that he's been teaching these guys that allowed them to have a really good year. Offensive line had a really good year. I was actually just talking to Ola Adams yesterday, you know, who's our safeties coach and came over from Penn State. We had a very frank discussion. He was like, the Indiana offensive line to that point in the season in Happy Valley, when IU almost and probably should have beaten Penn State.
Yeah.
They were the only offensive line that had pushed Penn State around, that had pushed that defense, which was, you know, one of the best in the country, off the ball. So, you know, to hear him say that from his perspective, right, without a bias, we're on the right track on the offensive line. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Tight end is a position that's thin. You bring in Zach Horton from JMU. Yep. Then in terms of playmakers, you still bring back.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's about 12 guys in that room, but
you know, you bring back James Bamba, a tough guy, can make some plays in the blocking game. Same with Trey Walker. Yeah, he's a hockey guy. You can't get hockey guys off the playing surface unless you do it on a stretcher. But how do you see the tight end position?
It's a good question. You know, there's so many of those guys now, you know, on that roster. Now, numbers don't necessarily, you know, breed success, but I'm really confident in that group, and I'm really excited actually about that because we know what we have in Bamba, know what you got in Trey Walker, and then now what do we have in Sam West, right? You know, what do we have in some of those younger guys? I know Sam was a real popular guy, you know, to kind of talk about, you know, for the future with the previous coaching staff. So, you know, I'm really curious to see what he can do. Then Anthony Miller, man, I'm telling you, just fits he's got an NFL body for a tight end, 6'5", 255 pounds, you know, didn't play at all last year, but I'm curious to see what the plan is there. You got, you know, Brody Kostin comes in as well. And then, as you mentioned from the portal guys that, you know, this staff is familiar with and Zach Horton. I'm really curious to see how that group kind of fills out because there's almost too many of them. So, I wonder if there are some candidates for a position change there at the end of spring ball. And we're talking about maybe, you know, one or two guys either moving to the defensive side of the ball or, you know, back in Cam Cameron's day, we'd convert a couple of those guys to tackle. And those ended up being all Big Ten tackles. Bobby Brandt. Was one of those guys. Craig Osika was a you know, a tight end, ended up moving to center and was an all Big Ten offensive lineman. You know, I'd be curious on that front too, but I think that is a deep and talented group, yet to your point, Sammy, very unproven.
Yeah.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, Rhett, you know, defensive line, you have a lot of injuries going into spring practice. you said opportunity for some of these walk-on guys to maybe find their way onto the field, especially in those games where, you know, you expect IU to win by a large margin, or on special teams when you need to give guys, you know, who are in the rotation a blow. What's your biggest concern on defense?
Well, I mean, we've got to find a way to get after the passer, right? You know, I think that was evident, you know, in the Illinois game last year.
Yeah,
you let a guy throw for 500 yards, you're not getting him on the ground enough. And I think, you know, that was evident a couple of different times. And I thought it was actually better than the 22.
Purdue game.
Purdue, of course. Well, you're sitting, I mean, like, getting to the quarterback's one thing, getting him on the ground is another thing. I mean,
yeah. I mean, they had him for maybe 12 sacks.
12 sacks at minimum, Sammy, at minimum 12 sacks. I think Aaron Casey could have had six of them. But that needs to happen. So, you know, I'm really confident in this group of coaches, you know, and I think you'll get havoc from the interior too. Now, Pat Koontz, I think, is a great, great defensive line coach, especially on the interior with some of those D tackles and getting them to be a part of the mix as well. But I'm excited about guys like Tootie Collins, who we kind of heard about, but didn't see anything from this last year. As a true freshman, I'm really curious to see how he's able to get after the passer a little bit. You know, and I think the coaching staff is already really impressed with Linnell Carr. And, you know, I know we're not going to see much of him here this spring, it sounded like, based off what Coach was saying. You know, Kamara comes over in the portal. It's like, I feel like you've got more experience and more pedigree rushing the passer. And so that's just something that's just got to happen. You know, it's about good quarterback play and affecting the quarterback. That's going to win you football games in this conference.
Yeah. You have very – sorry, TJ, go ahead.
Some of that scheme, too. Yeah, you know, we saw how effective Cade Womack was as defensive coordinator in scheming pressure. The individual players themselves maybe were not guys that could line up next to a good left tackle, next to a good right tackle, and just beat their guy one-on-one consistently. But with proper scheme, you could get that pressure, and I hope – you know, we see more of that from Brian Haynes. Certainly his history at James Madison suggests that's the plan.
Now it's about havoc.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's about getting into the opponent's backfield, making them uncomfortable, in Indiana, let opposing offenses just get way too comfortable and dictate things to them as opposed to Indiana dictating things to the offense. Looking at the secondary, and you mentioned the portal. It's very clear Indiana's defense is not built yet. There are going to be further additions after the spring and further defections probably as well. Sure. But looking at the secondary, I was pleased to see Nick Toomer lined up at safety. I think that's his best spot. I think it's a spot Indiana needs him at, given the bodies that we have at corner. The secondary largely disappointed the past couple of seasons, given what you had hoped for with the talent that you thought they had. What do you think about the guys that Indiana currently has assembled at corner and at safety, and then the new Rover position for Indiana?
Yeah, well, that's another – I'll start at the Rovers. You finished off there with that one. It's a good question, TJ, because it is very important, right? There are teams in this league that are going to throw it around the yard, and we know that. And, you know, Ohio State's one of them, and while Marvin Harrison might be gone, the next guy's going to step up and be, an absolute stud too. Now, I will say that I was – early in the season, I was really impressed with the secondary. Like, I thought the corners were holding up really nicely, and then we get to the Louisville game. You give up some of the explosive plays, but I thought through a couple of weeks – even against Ohio State, I mean, Marvin Harrison caught two balls, you know, like it had a good plan for him. And I thought the guys executed that plan well. Now they got to figure things out a little bit more this go round. So, you know, Jameer Johnson, we never really got a taste of, I mean, we got a taste, I should say. We never got the full meal last year. Right. He was banged up a couple of different times. So I'll be curious to see what he can bring. Jamari Sharp's got a full year of starting under his belt. I think that's incredibly valuable. So, you know, the corners are going to be big, right? The outside corners, trying to figure out where you're at there, especially now that Nick Toomer's out of the mix. But the thing that I'm really excited about is Amari Farrell. And I think, I mean, we'll have to see when we get out of practice, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in that rover role, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy that opens up with the first shot at that all important rover, nickel, slot corner, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a guy that's big enough to handle it in terms of the run game and run support there. And he's a fast and fluid athlete too, in terms of coverage. So I think his athleticism gives you some real options. But yeah, I mean, to your point, the secondary's got to be better. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, defensive tackle and the secondary are where this team really looks in the portal post-spring ball.
Yeah.
They're bringing in a lot of players from the G5, right? I've always heard that, hey, skill players at G5 are basically as good as the Power Five, and the difference is on the lines. How does it translate for a guy like Sean Ashbery, who played at BC, went to Old Dominion, graded out real well on Pro Football Focus, and Terry Jones at safety, who's a all conference, you know, performer in the Sun Belt. Are they going to be able to make that transition up to the Big Ten?
Well, look, I think at this point we got to trust in what Coach Sig is selling us here. We got no reason not to. And, you know, he looks at the tape. He's not looking at the stars. He's not looking at PFF. He's looking at the tape and he's saying, this dude can play. And I feel like if you're going to Google Coach Kurt Cignetti and find winning, the subsection would be finding players that can help us win, right? Because that's a big part of the formula. Yeah. So I think you've got to trust his eye and this staff's eye in terms of scouting the talent that can make that kind of transition. Because there were guys that probably wanted to come from James Madison that they didn't take. Now, they took a bunch, but they didn't take everybody. And so, you know, there's some that can make that transition. There's some that can't. And I think we see it all the time, right, in the transfer portal era. You know, you get a guy from an obscure, you know, FCS school or from a D2 school or even a group of five or a, you know, kind of lower level group of five. And like all of a sudden, this guy becomes an all-conference player. And so it really is a case-by-case basis, right? I don't think you can just paint that, you know, with a brush all over the canvas there. So Sean's a good player. Now, he's a smaller guy, right? I mean, you know, Philip Dunham was over 6 foot. You know, Lou Moore was right around that 6 foot. He's a 5'9 player. But does he play bigger? Does he make big plays? Because ultimately, I don't care what you look like. I don't care how big you are. You need to make game-changing plays from that safety spot. And I think that's why Sean Ashbery's here.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for Rhett?
No, I appreciate Rhett coming on there. Of course, we, as we do on this podcast here, we highly recommend the Under the Hood series, all those videos up on IU's YouTube. It was great conversations with IU's incoming staff. So we appreciate your time.
You know, the one thing that I'd say, TJ, the one position group that I'm also really intrigued with, both in personnel and in usage, is the running back spot, right?
Yes.
Love having Trent Howland back to be, you know, a big physical guy. Cause I do feel like, and in talking to John Miller a little bit, that you can carve out roles for guys. And it does feel like there's some openness to that. You know, is there going to be a guy that gets 20 carries? Probably not. I mean, there's, you know, we get three running backs come through the portal. And then you get Trent Howland back and four running backs come through the portal. You get Trent Howland back. So you got five guys in there that you're going to be that have legitimate college football experience. And now, you know, they're all going to be fighting for carries, fighting for touches, which I think is important. So how Coach Sig and you know, Coach Shanahan use that group, I think will be really fun to watch develop over the course of the spring and the summer. But I'm really excited, guys. And I really appreciate you having me on, but really excited about where we're at with all these position groups.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a member of the Trent Howland fan club right here. I'm sick and tired of not seeing him get at least short yardage carries when he's as big as he is. I didn't understand that, but you know, I'm not the coach, right? So
that's it.
Thanks, Rhett. Good luck, Rhett. On NFL Network with all that stuff. See ya. All right. Big thanks to Rhett Lewis for coming on, joining the podcast. Great stuff from Rhett. Transitioned through three coaches. Heard that stuff. Went through basically every position as well. What are your final thoughts, TJ?
It's such a good point he made of, you know, we ask him, how do players view a coaching change like that? And opportunity is such a good answer. You know, there's the famous Game of Thrones line, right? Chaos is a ladder. yeah, this coaching change can be chaos for certain guys. Some guys move on. Some guys are asked to move on. They're not asked to come back. That's been made very clear. There were players that wanted to come back to Indiana after initially entering into the portal. Coaching staff looked at them, talked to them. No, no, not for us. But for those that stayed, it is an opportunity. You know, for those that come from James Madison, they've got to prove themselves all over again. Opportunity is a really good way to put it, and that's what this spring practice is for these guys. It's an opportunity on the field to put into those coaches' minds as they head into the summer and then into fall camp, hey, I've earned playing time. I'm good enough to be on the field for you. This is their opportunity to do that, and that's what these guys are doing. And, you know, it's situational stuff. It's drills. It's film study. And for Coach Signetti, he's talked about it often. It's preparing for games because everything needs to emulate gameplay, but it's also staying healthy. And through one practice, as far as we know, that's a success. Everybody's still healthy. So hopefully that's the case, because Indiana's certainly not in a position to start losing players to injury.
Yeah, they're not, especially in spring practice when you're so thin at some places. They were able to go three deep at a lot of the positions and run three teams, which is the goal. They said that today. Also, late news after we put out our, of course, after we put out our receiver preview, Cam Perry enters the portal. Not shocking with the transfers they bring in from Wake Forest and Texas Tech in the slot position. But, you know, hopes were high for Cam coming in, never really got a shot under the next or under the previous staff. And he thought maybe spring ball, you know, would give him a shot there. IU's next spring practice is on Saturday. I'll be down to practice on Tuesday to get the first look, my first live look at this team. But, you know, it is. It's, you got 13 practices. They're down. You know, the ones checked off the list. It seems like Sig's in a good mood, playful mood. And then we'll see on April 18th during the spring game, you know, what they show, what players are where, and all that stuff. So great having Red on, TJ, as always. We have all our spring practice previews. They're still coming out. There are a lot of guys to write about as well at HoosierHuddle.com. And you can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter as well. I'll let everybody get back to March Madness and enjoy March.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it.